This is Kay Gaynor, author of Paladin Corps Book 1, available at kgaynor.com, and you are listening to Compensating Controls.
Synaptic Jam Productions presents Compensating Controls, the debut podcast novel from author James Keeling. Warning, parental guidance suggested for some language and mild to extreme scenes of violence.
Episode 20. It's been a long, strange ride. The pieces are finally falling into place. Only one more episode of Compensating Controls to go. Well, after this one at least. And where did we leave it? Well, we left it at Connectron, an ISP in the Southern Ring suburbs, and it seems to be the place. Let's see what happens now.
Chapter 42. Pons had gone the distance. He had arrived at the point where something had to happen. He had just hung up the phone from what could very well be his last conversation with the controller, and had been informed in no uncertain terms that he had 24 hours with which to obtain the data and eliminate all parties involved. Failure to do so would result in repercussions. That was how the controller had phrased it. Repercussions. Pons had been in the business long enough to know that it really meant early retirement. And he knew what that meant as well. He was standing in the customary place he had always come to when he visited Minnesota, the scenic overlook along the mighty Mississippi River that lay just off a walking path on the north side of the river as it wound around the city of St. Paul. Across the water, he could see the lights from Harriet Island, where apparently an outdoor concert of some kind was taking place, but the wind carried any sounds that might have reached him downstream. Pons liked the water. It had a soothing effect on him, and he relied on it now to calm his troubled mind. Watching the water as it approached from his right, slowly drift past him, and continue on its way, oblivious to all around it. When he was a small boy, Pons would make small boats out of wood and float them down the stream that ran past his village in the Netherlands. He would race after it and watched it as it joined a river, which he knew would join another and another, and eventually emerge into the vast North Sea. He often wished he could be on that boat, leaving the world of his village behind. He imagined riding his little boat down this river to eventually emerge in the Gulf of Mexico. And he smiled. Maybe someday he would buy a boat. But it was not today, and most likely not tomorrow. If he failed to complete his mission, there would be no boat. Maybe even no tomorrow. Pons had sent the money as requested, realizing what little choice he had. He would wait now. Although it created a feeling of powerlessness in him, it was all he could do. He had vowed never to be powerless, never to be at the mercy of another human being. He had dedicated his life to being the one in power, the one who establishes order. Not his father, not his grandfather, him. He would establish order, he would establish it, and he would keep it. This was the way of his world. His cell phone buzzed in its holster, and slowly he removed it. On the screen was a name, an address, and a time. Connectron, Highway 77 and Highway 13, Burnsville, 2300. He looked at his watch, an Omega he had purchased in London on a previous assignment. 10:15. This was it, then. This was his next step. He remembered his first step when he left his village. It was a step he had chosen to take. It was his own control enacted on his own life, setting him free. Although he knew that this was not quite the same, he attempted to recapture that feeling of freedom and control he had felt so long ago. It was this feeling that created the frame of mind he had found he required while working. It was this outlook on life that had driven him to succeed. And it was this ideal which would lead him forward now, removing any and all obstacles in his path as he pursued his goal with a hunter's determination, and woe be to any who oppose him. Pon smiled and strolled towards his car. Chapter 43. Peter stood at the table with Brent and Julio, reviewing the deployment of their personnel and the projected response times to the various areas of the Twin Cities, ensuring that coverage was adequate to provide the appropriate application of force when called upon to do so. They had discreetly employed local law enforcement and tactical agencies, pairing them up with federal personnel when available and appropriate, and had placed them around the cities in a loose grid coverage, taking into account the distances necessary and availability of transportation. Peter had even thought of using the light rail as a conveyance, but quickly scoffed at the idea of a band of heavily armed men riding on the light rail train, scaring the crap out of the other passengers. It had become a running joke between the three of them. "What about coverage for the south side, Burnsville, Egan, that area?" Peter had asked. Julio piped up with the answer. "We've got tactical teams placed in the Burnsville split. That's where I-35 splits into I-35W and I-35E and head north. This should provide the fastest conveyance. If it happens north of the split, teams from Richfield and Mall of America will converge, with the teams coming up from the south. On the north side, we're spread out fairly well, too, as long as traffic doesn't slow us down too much. I figure we can get at least one team into any area of operations within 30 minutes, if not two or more teams, based on location." Brent took up the briefing. "There will be more than four teams active in the primary area of operations at any given time. All other teams will automatically assume positions 10 miles out at staggered intervals to provide cover. All activity will be coordinated from this location."
"So we'll quarterback the place from here?"
"That's right. Brent and I will be the liaison for the disparate teams as they report in," Julio responded as he studied the maps, the fireteam positions circled in black.
"So, what do we do now, boss? Can you think of anything we're missing?"
Brent directed his question at Peter, who was still poring over the maps, looking for blank spots in the coverage.
"It looks to me like you two have done an excellent job setting up the operation. All the pieces are in place and everyone is ready. So for now, Friar Tuck, we sit and we wait."
Brent sat back in his seat, pulled a king-size candy bar out of thin air, grinned, and began to chew.
Chapter 44. In the data center at Connectron, Peter glanced around and thought to himself, everything's ready for the party to start. He had gone out to Rob, the night operator security person, and after chatting with him for a while, convinced him that if he really wanted to, he could take a break and head out to that new Thai restaurant down off Highway 13 in Yankee Doodle, which was open until 1 a.m. He even gave him a gift card that they had purchased just to encourage him to go. Rob should be gone for at least an hour, and as it was now 10:30, Nick was pretty sure that he would be out of the way and safe while it all went down. They had done all they could to prepare for what was to come. If it was enough, so be it. If it wasn't, then that was just the way it was meant to be. He went back into the server room and reviewed all of his preparations, taking Cassandra with him so she knew exactly what to do, where to be, and even more importantly, where not to be.
Is everyone out there primed? All right, NaNoWriMo news. Sadly, I am unable to participate in Nano this year. Other factors have made this decision for me, the decision that I cannot participate. Yes, it's very sad. 3 years attempted, 3 years won, but no joy in Mudville for 2011. It will forever be a black hole in my past, a chance passed up, an opportunity missed. But life goes on. As for what's next after compensating controls, next up on tap is Subversion, Sacrifice, and Salvation. There'll be more info on that novel in the next episode. I'm going to go ahead and ask now. Well, what do you think? I'll ask you a question and you answer it. What did you think of the straight read? Would it have been better if I'd had a few character voices?
I currently lack the chops for a full audio drama, so that's just not in the cards for the near future. Did you have any favorite characters? I'll make you a deal. You tell me yours, and I'll tell you mine. I wanted to incorporate realistic technology in this novel. One of my concerns was that some of it may only speak to the geeks out there. Was it a distraction for the rest of you? Would you rather have had me doing outlandish, impossible things with technology instead? Please, don't hate me because I'm a geek. And now for a difficult question. My own feed versus patio books. I really enjoy having my own feed with all this hopefully interesting chatter, and I hope you come to enjoy it too. It brings a conversational component to the process that, for me personally, adds to the story. While I have quite a few listeners to my feed, I have many more on patio books. My concern is that the listeners over there are missing out and less likely to go to my feed. Are there any ideas out there on the best way? I've got a couple of thoughts, but I wanted to give you a chance to chime in first. So that's it for questions. Please shoot your answers to me, jkeeling@jameskeeling.com. And it's promo time! I'm currently listening to Paladin Corps by Kay Gaynor. It's excellent. He's building quite the world and some very interesting characters. I can't wait to see what happens to him. It was his bumper at the beginning of this podcast. He doesn't have a promo listed on his site, so I threw this together quick.
We are surrounded by greed, corruption, and hatred. We silently cry and hope for a brighter tomorrow. But one officer, Kevin Lazur, can no longer ignore the call. His duty is now to make our wish a reality. He must battle political corruption, corporate greed, hatred, and fear to save humanity from total annihilation. Is he strong enough to answer the call? Paladin Corps, the new podcast novel by Kay Gaynor. Available at kgaynor.squarespace.com.
Well, that's all that I've got for now. I will let you go. So, big boy voice.
So once again, this is James Keeling of Synaptic Jam Productions, wishing you clear skies and a crimson sunset.
You have been listening to Compensating Controls, the breakout novel by podcast author James Keeling. For more information and more content, please visit the website at www.jameskeeling.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Synaptic Jam, or like me on Facebook, also at Synaptic Jam. Music and sounds generously provided by Incompetech.com and Freesound.org. Compensating Controls is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. So please, share it with everyone and spread the word. Just don't change it or make money off it. Or, if you do, please send that money to me. Swiss bank account available upon request.
Okay, it's T025, it's chapter 42. Okay, this is where Pons finds out where he's going to get his revenge.
Excuse me. 10 seconds for noise removal. Excuse me.
He was standing in his customary place when he...
See, that's a horrible sentence. See, that's another horrible sentence. Jeez, Jim, you just really crapped this one, didn't you? It's towards the end, maybe that's it.
Was taking place.
There we go, try that one. Okay, last chapter for the night. Pop filter in place, it is recording, yes. Okay, all right. No, see? It's a good sentence, too, here.
Peter glanced around and thought to himself, everything's ready for the party to start.
See, that's just horrible, Jim. Come on. 44, 45 is the big one. 45 is a lot of pages.